Welcome to The Vinyl Exam. I'm your host, Keith, and this is episode number 158. Back in season 3, Tracy Parker, aka Miss T, reviewed her must-have list of 5 tracks. Also slated for season 3 was a sit-down conversation Sama and I had at Vamp Records Oakland, the store Tracy runs along with her life partner, Fernando. Something worth noting is our sit-down conversation had a 5th person, Vinyl Exam Patreon Ben Lack. Unfortunately, the audio gods took as a sacrifice our recording of that conversation and we moved on. A few weeks ago, I ran into Tracy and Fernando in Los Angeles at the Smorgasburg Record Fair in downtown LA. Tracy was there selling not only for her brother, but also for Vamp, and had a stash of records to dig through. Tracy and I talked for a few minutes, which led to the following conversation where we discussed music, Vamp Records, Vamp's 5th anniversary coming up, and a few other things as well. One final note. This episode is posting Thursday, March 1st, because there are some cool happenings going on this weekend for Vamp, and I wanted to give people, especially listeners in the Bay Area, a chance to catch the festivities if their schedule allows. Let's get to it. Some cool stuff today, it sounds like.
Yeah, we just finally took a day away from town and took a drive down to Half Moon Bay for fish and chips and some sand and a little bit of nice sunshine. When we first opened the shop, we used to be open on Sundays, but then maybe like a year or so in, we stopped being open on Sundays because it just wasn't very busy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we haven't been open on Sundays for the longest time, and then we have a friend who kind of was like utilizes the library of records there to do sampling and stuff like that. So he was coming in on Mondays and kind of borrowing the shop to do that and opening the space if people wanted the shop. But then Mondays wasn't really busy enough to make it a lucrative day for him. So mm-hmm. we traded the time that he would be doing that on Mondays to Sundays. So he's opening on Sundays now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, tell me about the library. What's the library of sampling mean? That sounds awesome.
A friend of ours, he's a young guy that makes like beats and samples records and stuff. So with the shop, he can spend time there and pull out records and listen to stuff while he's there. And if there's something on there that he feels like he could utilize to make music with, then he'll record stuff off of the records.
And is the store actually open or is it closed?
The store's open.
Okay, so you actually let him run the store, and the payment is that he gets to rifle through the inventory and flip some samples and stuff. That's a great gig for someone who samples, because this is like a common lament, I think, of record heads that used to complain about sampling heads. It's like, well, but it's a good album, right? You want your 4 seconds and then you use it and then you don't listen to the rest of the record or you throw it away or something like that. So yeah, that's a great way. You have all the access without having to slog through the records if that's not necessarily all the way your thing of owning all these albums, right?
Right, but I guess the nice thing about him is that he's also very extremely knowledgeable about the music.
Mm.
So, and he's very appreciative of the music as it is. So, you know, stuff that he pulls out is things that he would be interested in as the album is of itself. And then if there's something on it, I think, then that's kind of a bonus. So
yeah.
It's all inspiration. You know,
he's
kind of gathering if you're a photographer, or a designer of some kind, like you pull out pictures of things that you are inspired by and work with those, and he kind of pulls out records and takes sounds off that he's inspired by. So
yeah, no, it makes sense. Actually, on a random note, I just bought, I mean, random but semi-related, I just bought, somebody I know was selling a pretty good chunk of their collection, like not too much, but little pieces. So like a little lot of like rock records plus soul records. And it wasn't that many records. It was like 25, you know, something like that. And each, you know, obviously some lots were bigger than others, but the rock lot and the soul lot were pretty small. I bought it because I enjoyed, you know, I like the person's taste in music. And sure enough, the records have been super interesting because it's a lot of records that, you know, I'll listen through and I'll be like, ah, here's why he bought the record. Here's the break. Here's the sample. Here's whatever it is. But then there'll inevitably be some cool shit as well. You know, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually got, there's somebody that, they're in Ohio. And this woman, her husband is a producer / beat maker. And they, whenever they go traveling, he'll go to the local record store. So I guess it was probably about 3 years ago that he was in the West Coast, and they came to the shop, and he was buying records at the shop. And I guess his wife messaged us and said, you know, my husband had such a great time at the shop when we were out there, and I was trying to think of something interesting and fun and thoughtful to do for him for Valentine's Day. Would you be interested in working with a $50 budget, choosing some records that you think might be usable for him and his music making, and then, you know, and sending them to me, and I'll pay for the shipping. So it was actually a really interesting challenge because, you know, she sent us his Instagram page with, you know, he has little videos and stuff of the music that he's making. So I listened to you know, a few of those to kind of get a feel for what he's doing. And then going through the shop and thinking like, okay, well, somebody has 50,000 records or whatever, you know, his collection is, where would you go to find something? And, you know, what would you choose to fill in the $50 budget of choices? So, you know, hopefully like this guy's kind of doing the same thing that our friend does when he looks after the shop for us, like finding little bits and pieces here and there to sample. So, that was a fun challenge, you know, I ended up with, eight records, I think. And then, packaged them in two different boxes and shipped them out. And the woman who made the order, she, you know, wrote me back and she said, oh, we got the packages, and he went through every record and he was very pleased with that. And it was very fun to see what he chose. And so, yeah, that's the first time anybody's entrusted us to do something like that. And I thought that it was a really fun thing for me to put my effort into. And then it's nice to get good feedback.
Yeah.
Because you could send something and what you find interesting could be totally nothing to somebody else. And, you know, they might feel like it's a waste of their money. But the woman was like, you know, if this works out and he likes what you choose, then, you know, maybe we'll make it an annual thing. And every Valentine's Day, I'll contact you guys and have you send another box of records. So.
Yeah, I kind of think I want to do it, actually. That actually serves as a pretty good segue into Vamp. And also a good segue into, so it's interesting, right? Because at least to me, when I was thinking about this conversation earlier today, I was actually thinking Vamp has a criteria very similar to that I enjoy. It's one of the few record stores, and there aren't many, where I could actually walk in and tell the shop owner, like, I'm into this, this, and this, you know, I'm planning on spending this much, help me. I like turning myself over to very few people's hands, but you're one of those people. The record that you sold me at Beat Swap Meet yesterday, it was technically not Beat, or last week, it was the Smorgasburg Record Fair, and I just listened to it about an hour ago, and I really dig it.
Okay, been thinking about that all week, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if he listened to it, I wonder what his feedback, I want to get his feedback.
Yeah, no, I dig it. It's like a really crazy blues guitar meets simple hip hop beat production thing, but it very much works. It's very chill.
The dad was explaining that they kind of were inspired by Jimi Hendrix.
Mm.
So that first, I think it was the first song on, like, the one that's like has the least form to it.
Yeah.
But that one is taken off of whatever it was that they were inspired by Jimi Hendrix.
Interesting. Yeah, it's kind of a back mast / forward mast guitar snippet song, and it's like 8 minutes long. It's pretty chill.
Right. Yeah. It's totally weird stuff, but really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way I would describe it. I would say that even as people are listening to this right now, they're probably like, oh, that doesn't sound that interesting. And it's like, no, it works. It really works. You know, and
you have to hear it.
Yeah.
It's like the hardest thing to explain, really. But
yeah,
every time we put the record on at the shop, like people are always coming up and looking at the turntable and wondering what it is. Definitely had a really good reception with the customers.
Yeah, and it's a private press record. Is that's its deal, right?
Right. Yeah, and the guy Harold is the father, and I feel bad because I forget what his son's name is, but his son passed away in 2016. So apparently, the son was the one that had more of the traditional music experience, and then the dad is more of the experimenter.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dad, I believe, is the one that might be doing more of like the synthesizer and the sounds and all of that kind of stuff. But they collaborated and made a bunch of music and recorded a bunch of music before his son passed away. And I think from what I understand from the story that he told us is that he ended up pressing this record after his son passed. And so it's kind of an homage, you know, into the music that they were able to make together. And it's something that is carrying on the spirit of what his son was doing with his life with music. And, you know, his connection with his son and sharing that with whoever is interested in it. So it has a really nice story, along with just the music. I think the music stands alone, but when you know the story, it kind of adds a lot more to the depth of it as well.
Absolutely. I think in a lot of ways, it's like the perfect private press record. You know what I mean? Like I think it's the kind of record people think about when they think about why they like private press records. Those people who collect them, obviously.
Yeah. A friend of ours who has worked in pretty well-known record stores and then a buyer in record stores and a collector in record store, you know, just in of his own personal collection. Like, he told us, he's like, you know, this is the kind of record that 50 years or, you know, even 25 years from now, people will be paying $300 or $400 or, you know, $500 for the record, hoping that they can get a copy of it, because who knows where it went to or what happened to it. And the guy only pressed, I think he said he pressed maybe 125 copies or something like that.
Wow.
Like, he had a really limited number that he pressed of that particular record. So, and it's cool, you know, that he did it on vinyl, because he could have put it on a CD,
yeah,
you know, or whatever, or just left it and then however the files were recorded originally. But he said that he had friends who were able to help him get it mastered so it could be put on a record. So he really wanted to have it in that realm, instead of just on a CD or in some other kind of a format.
Thank you. So, okay, so Vamp is going on its fifth anniversary, is that correct?
Yeah, fifth anniversary, yep.
And is there, what is the actual date of that anniversary or even month?
Basically, March is our anniversary month. We originally opened the shop on the first Friday of March, but because this March happens to be turning into a very busy month, we decided to do the actual shop anniversary party on March 10th, which is a Saturday, second Saturday of the month. And second Saturdays in the last couple of years have turned into we show art on one of the walls in the shop, which is basically one side of the store is a wall to display art. So every month the art transfers out, and second Saturday is the reception night. So we thought that instead of doing it on first Friday, because we also do a DJ night that we've been doing, which is also celebrating 5 years. So that happens on first Saturday. So instead of having a first Friday and a first Saturday back to back, where by Sunday we wouldn't probably be able to stand much longer.
Yeah.
So we were like, let's just do the party anniversary the following Saturday on the reception night, and then, you know, have that. So we're going to do kind of an open turntable party during the day. So have, you know, and friends or customers or anybody that wants to come through and share some records, kind of do that during the day on Saturday on the 10th. And then from like 6 to 11 is the art reception side of things. And then we were able to get a Bay Area legend, Romanowski. He's a Swiss-born artist and musician, and lived in San Francisco, I think, since the late 80s. But he's pretty well known, and he's as a graphic artist. He's done a lot of graffiti writing. He's also a musician in his own right. He's kind of a Renaissance man in that kind of a world. And yeah, he's a pretty awesome guy. So he's gonna take over the wall, we're doing a kind of a retrospective of work for him on that month. And you know, he's probably the most well-known artist that we've shown in the shop. So it's kind of a nice thing to have a person of that caliber come in to help us celebrate our 5 years.
Excellent. That sounds really cool. And you mentioned the DJ. Tell me a little bit more about the DJ night. I mean, I know you spin. Is that your monthly kind of residency type thing?
It is. Yeah. So there's a venue close to where our shop is in downtown Oakland. It's actually considered uptown Oakland, where the venue is at, but it's called the Legionnaire Saloon. And they also opened their doors in 2013, which is the same year that we opened. And within the first week that they were open, we had gained a residency there on a Thursday night. So Fernando Carpenter, who's my partner in the shop and my my partner in my lifetime here, we had approached the venue to do a night, like some kind of a soul night there. So we started off with a Thursday, and then within a few months of doing Thursdays, they traded us out to a Saturday night. So we have been doing the first Saturday night there for pretty much 5 years since they opened the venue. So historically, since our party started the first week that they were open, they've kind of we've co-celebrated our 5 year anniversaries with the DJ night and the venue for them, the Legionnaire. We do like a big 5 year anniversary party. And this year we're hosting a band on the second floor called Soon Hot Fat. They're Ethiopunk, Bay Area, East Bay based band, Ethiopian inspired funk music.
That sounds awesome. What's their name again?
Yeah. They're called Soon Hop Fat. So like S-U-N and then H-O-P, like hop like a rabbit, and then fat like daddy fatty 2x4.
Oh, okay. So F-A-T though, right?
F-A-T, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, Soon Hop Fat.
Okay, excellent.
It's actually the name of there's a grocery store in East Oakland that's called that, and I think that that's where they were inspired by their name. So so yeah, they're going to play, and then we have a longtime friend of mine, Dennis Owens, who's coming up from Long Beach, and he's one of the co-founders of the Goodfoot, which is celebrating their 20-year anniversary this month, or this year in September, which is a soul night, also a soul DJ night that's been happening down there in Long Beach for 20 years. So he's coming up to be a guest DJ, and then we'll be having two floors, and it'll be a free party. So that's kind of, in a way, somewhat of a kickoff for the month of celebrations. We're also doing a little kind of a pre-party DJ thing at the Golden Bowl, which is another venue close to the shop in downtown Oakland, which is going to be Thursday, March 1st. And then we're doing a First Friday thing at the shop to help our friends who just put out a 7-inch. It's our friend DJ Chris Santos, a.k.a. DJ Flo, and then he did a collaboration with a local hip-hop vocalist, Manny Draper. So we're doing something to kind of help do a little release and a showcase for them, which is First Friday, which I guess will be March 2nd. And then March 3rd is the Where It's At party at the Legionnaire. And then the following week, we'll be on for the shop actual anniversary party.
Excellent.
And then, in the end of the month, hopefully we can... We're still kind of trying to get everything in place, but we're hoping to host a little record swap at a venue in Berkeley. I think it's whatever the last Sunday of March is, which I think it's the 20th. So the 25th is we're looking to host a little record swap up at a coffee shop up in Berkeley.
There's all kinds of shit that people in the Bay Area can check out, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot happening.
Mentioned Soul Night. In when we've had conversations in the store, they've always been around the soul aspect of music. Is it safe to say that's your favorite genre? That's kind of like your most comfortable shoe genre?
Yeah, I guess, you know, for stuff that I like to share music wise, I have the most experience sharing soul music. I also have a really deep love and passion for Jamaican, like 60s Jamaican rocksteady and early reggae music, but because those records are so expensive, and you can kind of like dive into a whole other world of collecting if you go into the Jamaican stuff. Like I just never bought too much in that world, but I do have a small collection of that, and I love that music just as much as I love the American soul music, and it really works hand in hand because a lot of the Jamaican music that was coming out of that time in the 60s was either covers of or very much inspired by American soul music. So, you know, ever since I was in my early 20s, I was either going out to listen to old Jamaican oldies or American oldies. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of songs that I learned through the Jamaican side of things that I later found out were actually American soul songs that they had covered. And I'm like, how did I not realize that was a Temptations song? I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, like over the years, like you think you just start hearing things and then you buy records and listen to the records or whatever people introduce you to stuff. So, like definitely American soul music is where most of my experiences in sharing records, I kind of dive off into a completely different realm, and I really like 90s kind of indie music. Like Stereolab was and still is a huge influence on me. you know, things in that vein. Like, I was introduced to them by a friend in college, and Tortoise is another band out of Chicago that I really love. So I have kind of a little small collection of that. And then I think, you know, other things that I really love as well, like I like funky jazz. Mm-hmm. So stuff that kind of is a vein off of soul music or funk, you know, funky soul music. So definitely, like, you know, that kind of stuff is what I like the most, I guess, and sure. What I share the most.
Sure. What was your entryway into music-wise? Like, what was the music that made you want to collect records, if you can remember it?
Well, I would say that when I was in, how old was I? Well, I have a brother who's 5 years older than me, so he's always been a huge influence on my music, and you definitely looked at his records at the Smorgasbord.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. He shared the booth with you guys, or you had a double.
Uh-huh. Yep. So he's always been a good influence on me, but I remember it was, I was probably in fourth or fifth grade, and he had a Depeche Mode cassette tape, and he played it for me, and I loved it, and then so all through my teenage years, I was super into Depeche Mode, and I was really into the kind of the new wave pop, English pop stuff. So that's the root of my popular music that I loved at the time when I was, you know, that age was that. And that, so when I was buying records, first of all, I would buy a lot of stuff in that vein. But my mom and I spent a lot of time together, and she always played the Oldies Channel. So I have to say that she's the person who really influenced me on listening to oldies music and listening to 60s soul music. And then when I went off to college, the person who became my boyfriend, he is one of the people who co-founded the Goodfoot in Long Beach. And so he and I used to go out to soul nights all the time, and it was part of a bigger picture of, because we both were into the vintage Vespa scooter kind of mod world, I mm-hmm. guess. And so that was really the entry point, I think, into the soul scene was doing that. So
interesting. Okay, yeah. Well, and something else I guess I find interesting as you're talking is, again, in person, we have had conversations about your love of the breaks, right? And how you dig breaks, and that's, you know, obviously been great for me because you're able to recommend all this kick-ass stuff, and kind of evidenced by the person in Ohio as well, I believe, right? But it sounds like you didn't necessarily enter into the realm of records that way. You know what I mean? It was more of something that just kind of happened while you were immersed. You actually had an authentic grounding in soul and in jazz and in oldies and things like that, and then the breaks thing kind of came along later.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say when I visit my brother that I'm, you know, class is in session, and he will always sit me down and kind of pull out records from his collection and, do you know this? Do you know that? Do you know this? Oh, you have to listen to this part. So-and-so sampled this, so-and-so sampled that. And, you know, and I've had other friends and a previous boyfriend who was really into the, understanding where samples came from. So a lot of the stuff that I was influenced by, I guess, with the sampling, like knowing records that have samples or breaks on them, kind of came from people just talking to me about that a lot. Mm-hmm. But I do find that, and a friend, actually my friend who helps look after the shop for us on Sundays, he's kind of pulled out and, you know, told me, he's like, you know, I can tell that this is going to be a Tracy song because it has a really good bass line or a really good drum, you know, drum break on it.
Yeah, interesting.
and I'm like, you know what? I never really thought that I was like that easy to read. But, you know, now that you're saying that to me in this really plain way, like I can see that, you know, I can see that that's what I am definitely attracted to. And I think that I find a lot of the more Afrocentric kind of rhythms and patterns are very are like what I feel more mm-hmm. with the music. So, like, you know, funky music with a good, you know, good bass line. And I think that the bass line thing comes from my love of Jamaican music also. Sure. So there's definitely crossover influences that I didn't really think were, I didn't really think about until I start analyzing what I'm liking. and then it's like the light bulbs start coming on. And I'm like, oh,
sure.
Maybe that's why. And that seems to be the obvious reason why that, you know, why I'm following that or why I like this or why I like that. And so, but I love dancing, and I think that a good bass line and a good drum beat is a really makes for easier and more fun dancing.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. No, that's interesting.
Being the person that has been spending the last seven years of our lives together.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the person who founded Vamp and came up with the initial idea and the initial sort of energy for it. And if it weren't for him opening that space and the neighborhood where I live, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. So I definitely have to give homage to him for that. And it's every day is a learning process. And from the days when he first started, it was kind of just like a weekend kind of open your doors and have a garage sale kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, friends of his came in and started helping him become a little bit more structured. And then when I met him, then, you know, things became a little bit more structured because that's just the way my mind works.
Sure.
Tend to be more like, well, this is a great idea, and it could be better if we, you know, put a little bit more guidelines and structure into it. And, you know, when we moved the shop downtown, it's a labor of love, and it's really our home away from home. It very much feels like our living room, and people often tell us that, like, they feel like they're walking into somebody's house rather than walking into a store.
Yeah. I was actually going to mention that myself, that it's for people that haven't been there. It's a very different type of store. You know, it is very hangouty, you know, and you want to kick it there for a while, which is great. It wouldn't take too long to dig through the entire store. It's a pretty meaty store in terms of stuff to find. There's always interesting stuff there. There's always a great conversation to be had over records that you may not know about. And it's just a great place to be.
Yeah, thank you. And I think, you know, in addition to that, both Fernando and I strive to offer things that other stores might not even think about touching. So, you know, we have a really hefty gospel section, which isn't found in very many stores. There's other things that we just really like to find the weird stuff and like stuff that many people don't necessarily see the reasoning why. Like, what do you want to have that record in the shop for? Well, because there's something that's worth, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's weird. It's interesting. And, you know, and Fernando hosts a Monday night series, and it's an avant-garde experimental jazz series. So we also have a lot of local music in the store relating to that series. And then people that have played in that kind of a world for the longest time, like we carry, if we can find those things, we carry that as well. And so that community of people, know that they can come to Vamp and find that kind of experimental and avant-garde music.
Thanks, as always, for listening, and be sure to check out The Vinyl Exam not only at our website, thevinylexam.com, but also SoundCloud, Facebook, and Instagram. We also have a Patreon page, so check that out if you're interested. As always, special thanks to official Vinyl Examiners Brian Siebold and Yan Wong, and of course executive producers Janine Cuevas, Austell Gray, and Ben Lack. We'll catch you next time.